like this immediate, what I call a prophetic word that came while we were worshiping. And it was almost like, both of them were thus saith the Lord. But then you have to figure out which one, right? Can I put the series off till next week? Do you need me to do it this week? We want to be on track with the Lord. So I'm going to kind of do a mix of both and try to find my way through so that the Lord's not interested in me just delivering content. He's interested in me being a mouth that talks to you. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The accuracy of that. If you think that preaching is lecturing, you got it messed up. There's a lot of lectures, but not a whole lot of ministry. So the series is going to be called The Holy Who. All right, and it's going to be about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Who? Because most people don't even know who the Holy Spirit is, right?
Yeah.
He's just sort of like the neglected person in the Godhead. So I'm going to read the introduction, and because it was given to me by the Holy Spirit, I want to do it very accurately. So I'll do that, and then we'll see where that takes us. So God is doing amazing things on planet Earth. He's doing it through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And God wants you to be a part of what he's doing.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
However, many people, including churchgoers and Christians, that's two different classes, don't recognize the Holy Spirit. They don't know how to recognize what he's doing in their own lives or what he's trying to do through them for others. Most Christians wouldn't know if the Holy Spirit is doing anything in their church services or small groups either. Most would not know when the Holy Spirit was manifesting himself or when he wasn't. Most church services in America would not change with or without the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? I think I heard Brother Hagin say it this way. He said it back 20-some years ago. He said, if the Holy Spirit showed up in most church services with a red derby hat on, most pastors wouldn't recognize it.
Right.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. Yeah. Much of our living, listen guys, I'm not trying to put us down. I'm trying to bring us to a place of awareness. Most of our living doesn't require the help of the Holy Spirit. We need his help, but we're living without accessing it because we haven't learned to recognize it.
Right.
Simply recognize it.
Right?
Right? And so we want to recognize what the Holy Spirit's doing on the planet because, as we'll get into this after a while, you know, God's made up of the Father, right, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one God, but there are three persons that make God God. Does that make sense? God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we can use all kinds of natural illustrations, but let me put it to you this way. God the Father is God, but he's not the Son.
Right.
God the Son is God, but he's not God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is God, but he's not God the Son nor God the Father.
Right.
All three of them are God, but not all three of them are each other.
Right.
And the best illustration I have for that, there's all kinds you can come up with, is the best one, and many of you have heard it, many of you have used it, is an egg. The shell is the egg. The white is the egg. The yolk is the egg. But the white is not the shell, and the shell is not the yolk, and the yolk is not the white, yet all three of them are egg. God is the Father, is not the Son. God the Son is not the Holy Spirit. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are God. We could put it this way. Water can be steam. Water can be liquid. Water can be ice. All three of those are water. But liquid is not ice. And ice is not steam. And steam is not liquid. Yet all three of them are water. So we've got to learn in relating to God, one of the things we must do as believers is know how to relate to the Father.
Right. Yeah.
Know how to relate to the Son.
Yeah.
Know how to relate to the Holy Spirit. Right?
Amen.
Now here's the thing about it. The only member of the Godhead meaning the only member of the three that's operating on planet Earth right now is the Holy Spirit. So if you want access to God, you've got to come through the Holy Spirit. He's the only contact we have with God the Father and the Lord Jesus, God the Son, is the Holy Spirit. So it would really be helpful if, come on, y'all, we get to know and become acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit in, New Age, all the different New Agey stuff and all the other religions, they often have a spirit force or a spirit power or a spirit principle. But it's an it. It. When it comes over to the Bible and walking as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is not a New Age it. The Holy Spirit is a person, a him.
Yes. Yes.
We don't need more of it. He needs more of us. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit is yearning to manifest himself and to reveal the love and the power and the freedom that belongs to us in Christ. The number one reason that the Holy Spirit isn't recognized is because most of us have not studied what the Bible says about him. We don't know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. That'd be number one.
Right.
Number two, secondly, pastors and preachers haven't taken the time to teach what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's just not on their agenda. So he is, when I say the Holy who, with a question mark, it really is the Holy who. Right? I don't want to just know about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I want to become acquainted with him.
Yes.
I want to recognize him.
Amen.
How many of you can recognize your child's voice in a crowd? If you can't, we need to pray for you. Right? You know, or your husband or wife, you can be in a busy crowded room and you hear them say something. You're like, oh, that's Rhea. That is how familiar that the Holy Spirit wants us to become with his voice. That amongst all of the other voices going on in the world, and there's a bunch of them, come on somebody, a bunch even going on in your head, you want to get your heart so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you recognize when he's talking to you. All right? Here's a case in point. We were in Alabama this past week for our annual ministers conference, Safe Harbor, and it was awesome. It was really awesome. And, we did Thursday six sessions, Friday six sessions. Friday night, we closed the service, the meeting, the conference out with full-blown praise and worship. So Ray and I are coming in, bebopping in, and, we get third row back, kind of hide. We just want to worship and participate in worship. And the pastor comes back and whispers in my ear, hey, listen, if God gives you anything, feel free to give it. Don't hesitate, just feel free to give it. And I thought, well, okay, cool, that's cool. Well, no, then he comes back again while we're worshiping. My hands are lifted, and I feel him grab my arm. He goes, no, really? I mean, it's just like it's your service. You just take it. Do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And I'm like, okay. Well, then the wife comes back, says the same thing. No, seriously, Byron, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, this is your service. I'm thought, okay. Well, now I've gone from passive worshiper to active contributor. And I had to start listening. You missed it. I should have been listening all along.
Sure.
And what I learned from that is, as I began to go, oh, Lord, they want me to flow with gifts of the Spirit, and they want me to yield, and they want me to, wow, okay. And so I start tuning in as we're worshiping and singing and praying in the Spirit, tuning in. And just, Lord, what do you want to do? Or what is there gifts of the Spirit? What do you want? They're putting a demand on that. And I'm thinking, but they didn't even give me a chance to warm up. I mean, I need to warm up for a few hours. Kind of that mindset, right?
Sure.
Within a minute, I'm seeing things in the Spirit. I'm seeing body parts that need healed. I'm feeling pains in my body. My toe starts to throb, and my ear starts to throb, and my teeth start to throb, and I'm seeing things, and I'm seeing prophetic things, and it's like I'm writing them down. I got a whole page now. And now I'm thinking, but it's rude for me to take over somebody else's service. I'm just not used to that. And my natural mind is thinking, this is not a time to have a spirit of fear.
Right.
You've been told three times, twice by the husband and once by the wife, do something. You're open to do it. So I walk up, middle of a worship song, I'm like walking up, and she goes, yeah, come on. Gives me the microphone, and I just start calling out these words of knowledge. And my head's all along saying, that's just you, that's just you, it's just you. No one's going to respond. So I'd start giving them out, and people start coming up and lining up across the front of the church. All right? And it was phenomenal. The toe hurting, the throbbing toe, a word of knowledge came by feeling. You can feel it. Man, my toe was really hurting. And this guy, one of their youth pastors, as a matter of fact, they call him the space cowboy because he kind of keeps peace in space. But anyway, he really does. He kind of keeps, anyway, it's awesome what he does. He keeps China from using our airspace. He's actually the space cowboy. But high tech. But he had hit his toe and pulled his big toe all the way back. And his toe was gray. So with toenail was gray. So she said, I've got to grab your toe. And she's thanking God that he washed his feet before church. But so she grabbed his toe and ministered to him. And he said, man, look at my toe's doing something weird. Like the anointing was making like his toe do something weird. And then she looked down. She said, look at that. Your toenail, it was gray, but now it's turning white. And he said, well, it is, isn't it? Look at that. And so there was a healing in his toe. There were other people that got delivered from abuse and just horrific things that had happened to them and healings in physical bodies. One lady had severe double knee pain, and she came with a 10. The pain was an 8 or a 10. I forget what she said. And I had a young lady, just a young 20-something-year-old girl. I said, I want you to lay hands on her. She laid hands on her, commanded her knees to be healed, and the pain within 1 minute went from an 8 down to a 3 and then down to a 2. And she was able to stand up and get up and sit down, stand up and get down. All right. And so different things were happening. A guy had nearly broken his ribs sneezing in his sleep, and he was in severe pain in his ribs. And I had gotten that pain, the night before. And didn't give it. And so I laid my hands on him, and we prayed, and he started to cry. I said, I thought I hurt him. I said, are you okay? He goes, oh, no. He says, the pain's gone. Wow. All right? Now, I went from passive to active. Yep. And the lesson I learned from that is we need to pursue what the Holy Spirit wants to say and do through us. Yes. You follow me? Yes. We have more in us than we think. We have more ability in us than we think.
That's right.
But right now, it's the holy who? Right? Who? So we want to become familiar with the Holy Spirit because people need you.
Yeah.
People need the Holy Spirit that's on you.
Yeah.
People need the Holy Spirit that's in you.
Yeah.
You know, the new birth is like a well of water. Jesus said in John 4:14, it's like a well of water bubbling up. But he said there's a second thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit where you as a Christian can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 7:37, he said that's like rivers flowing out, rivers flowing out. So the new birth is for you, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for others. So if you're born again, if you're Spirit-filled and you have your prayer language, come on, and you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you have divine rivers, supernatural rivers flowing out of your belly, and they are intended to touch a world and people that need something more than the natural world can give them.
Right. Amen. It's true.
We're empowered to make a difference.
Yes.
But we've got to believe that. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
And then secondly, pastors don't teach on it because we don't want the Holy Spirit to hurt anybody, especially on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Number three, I've actually had that nearly said to me. Number three, ministers haven't demonstrated the working of the Holy Spirit in their services.
Yep.
There's no room for that on Sunday morning or in any service. In fact, most ministers and churches have abandoned the Holy Spirit in their services. I don't want to do that.
Me either.
What about y'all? Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, the prophetic word that I heard when I was sitting down here first service is this. And I don't want it to be negative, but I want you to hear it. I believe I heard the Spirit of the Lord say in my heart, I believe I got the impression from the Holy Spirit, and here are the words I'm using to frame the impression. The will of God for your life will not come to pass automatically. You could go to your grave having not done what he told you to do? Or only halfway did it? Or only fourth of the way did it? Or only three-fourths of the way did it? Well, that's condemnation. No, it's not. It's not condemnation. So just because you're born again and spirit-filled and go to church and even read your Bible doesn't mean you'll go to your grave having done what God put you in your mother's womb to do. It's possible to walk in the plan and purpose of God for 40 years and then the last 20 years totally miss it by your choice. God never forces anybody to do anything.
No.
Now, here's the problem we have. We have confused mercy and grace. It's a terrible error that can lead you down a wrong pathway. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Thank God for his mercy. Or I'd be dead by now, right? Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. But grace is you getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is God's enablement. It's the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, giving you the desire and the ability to do grace is. Giving you the power and ability to do what you could not do on your own. Grace empowers you to want to do things you would not want to do without grace. Grace empowers you to be able to do the things he gives you the desire to do. He gives you both the will to do and to do what God called you to do. But even though the grace of God gives you the desire and gives you the power to do that desire, that still doesn't take away your will to choose to follow that. Amen. I don't want to live by accident. So is it true? Let's look at grace. Because we have a lot of people now that are in grace churches living destructive lives, yelling they're under grace. No, really what you're under is mercy. Right? Say this out loud. Grace is empowerment. Does that make sense? Now let's look at that. Let's just break that down and look at it, because then we'll pick up on who the Holy Spirit is in this series, what he does, what he looks like, what he sounds like, how does it look in my private life, how does it look in a public life. If you're from classic Pentecost, you think you got to be foaming at the mouth and swinging from the chandeliers, or it's not God. You see, the power of God can hit, the power of the Holy Spirit can hit a person, and one person will react one way and call that the Holy Spirit. Another person will react another way and call that the Holy Spirit. And whatever is the acceptable form of response in your church then gets dubbed Holy Spirit. Right. But really, it was just your church's way of reacting to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Listen, there are times when the Holy Spirit will manifest in your life. Shouting is the way to yield to that. Shouting and praising is the way to yield to that. There are other times you can shout the manifestation of the Holy Spirit off of you, because you think shouting is what you got to do every time. Or running around the church is what you got to do every time. Or weeping is what you got to do every time. Or prophesying is what you got to do every time. In other words, we haven't become fine-tuned enough to know when the anointing is in manifestation. If we're not careful, we shift into how we did it the last time we felt it. And we get into tradition, a traditional response to doing and yielding to the Holy Spirit the way us do it. And we get stuck. It's called Pentecostal rut.
Yep.
We can also get caught in cool, gracey, charismatic rut of nothing.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
It's good work.
Boy, I'm not getting many amens this morning. I don't know. Maybe I need to pray harder or something. But this is the truth. And America is suffering from ignoring the Holy Spirit.
True.
Amen.
Yes, it's true.
Listen. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I desire that you don't be ignorant.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. And as I've heard before, and as I'm seeing now in my older years, I heard Brother Hagin say it, there's just as much ignorance about the Holy Spirit now, he said this back in the 90s, there's just as much ignorance about the Holy Spirit and his gifts now as there was when Paul wrote this. And I'm going to tell you, in 2019, there's even more ignorance about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he's like and how he flows and how he shows up. And there is as much ignorance about the gifts of the Spirit now as there was when Brother Hagin said it, as there was when Paul wrote it. Amen. There are some, I heard this, six great men. And the reason the Lord brought it to my attention is it wasn't like, when the Lord's speaking something to me, I wait for a confirmation. I don't know if you do or not, but I just don't hear something and then run with it, because the Holy Spirit is such a good God that he'll give you several confirmations to reassure you that you're hurting.
Sure.
So over a period of about 2 months, back May and June, six men that I highly respect made this statement. Number one, Brother Hagin, the very last big prophetic word he had in 2003, one of the biggest words he had just before he died 6 months later, he was prophesying to a large crowd of 4,000. Rhea and I were there, and we had never experienced this before. 4,000 people there. He said, I've got to pray, and I've got to pray now. So he just stopped the whole service, pulled up a chair, and all 4,000 of us prayed in tongues for about 20 minutes. And it was just we could hear this roar, like just a generator. It's phenomenal. And then when we got done, Brother Hagin, who is a prophet, stepped into the office of the prophet and began to speak what the Lord was saying. One of the first things out of Brother Hagin's mouth is, you pride yourself on being a word church. He said, but you're not just a word church, you're also a Holy Spirit church. Jesus, before this man of God left the scene, gave a final statement. Be careful or you're going to dismiss the Holy Spirit and only teach the Bible. Now, I'm going to make this statement. Many of you have heard it. Many of you younger people never did hear it, because there's a thing about the Holy Spirit that you younger generations, 40 and under, 30 and under, there's things if we don't instruct you and demonstrate it, we're going to rob you of your future because we didn't show you what the Holy Spirit looks like in manifestation. And that would be a crime. For me to have all this imparted to me from great men of God, from the Holy Spirit himself, and because I don't want to offend a first-time visitor, I'm not going to talk about it or allow him to do anything. See, the fear of man will cause you to not fear God. In a godly way. I don't mean fear him like he hurts you. I mean have a respect for the Lord. I heard a man say this, when you have a healthy respect, a healthy awe for God, you will fear nobody else.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And so Brother Hagin said, the move of God will be lost to this generation if somebody doesn't teach them and show them how the Holy Spirit moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I believe this community needs the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we do.
I don't believe we can help anybody in our own strength.
Yeah.
And so we heard this in the 90s, all word and you dry up. All Holy Spirit, all we do is just come and, whoo, Holy Spirit, and you blow up. But the word and the Spirit together and you grow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need both the manifestation of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
and the impartation of the word.
Yes, we do.
Together. Because if we don't have the word in it, we start calling things Holy Spirit that's not Holy Spirit.
That's right.
If all we have is word, we just start hearing it, but there's no manifestation and there is no confirmation,
right,
of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen, somebody?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? You see, there are people that will come through the doors that are so bound in their mind and soul, they can't hear the sermon. They need a word from God right now. To break through the darkness, to break through the mess, to break through. We've got to become accurately prophetic in this church.
Yes, yes, yes.
To set captives free.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
And not just in church, but in your life.
Yes.
You need that to raise your children.
Yes.
You need all the help you can get in this day and age to raise your children. You need the work of the Holy Spirit. One mother, they adopted a young man. He had been a troubled man, very troubled kid. And he was about 16, 17 years old. And they adopted him. And he was a lot of trouble. And they just loved him and was trying to get him, you know, turned around. And so the mother that had adopted him, the mother was washing dishes one day, and she had an urge to pray. Thank God she recognized the Spirit's work in her that she needed to pray now.
Right.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. So she began to yield to that. She just she stopped the dishes. Hallelujah. And she wiped, dried her hands off, and she knelt down somewhere in the house, knelt down and began to pray in the Holy Spirit. She didn't know what to pray for, didn't know why she was praying, but she had this urge to pray, the burden to pray. She prayed in the Spirit. She prayed for, an hour and get praying. And as she got to the end of the prayer, she realized she had gotten the release. And when she got the release, she had a vision. And in the vision, she saw this young man walking down the street and turning into a bar where they serve nothing good. And he turns into this bar where he's going to do some things he didn't need to do, all right? And when she was praying, she saw him come to himself like he got arrested, look around like, what in the world am I doing here? Turns right around, walks back out, goes down the street. So a couple hours later, he comes into the house and said, Mom, I won a great victory today. She goes, yeah, I know you did. She goes, what do you mean you know I did? I know you won a great victory. Well, what do you mean? You were walking down the street 2 hours ago, and some voice told you to turn in to the bar where you're going to, you know, illegally get some liquor and get involved with the wrong people. She said, but you walked in about 5 feet, and the Holy Spirit arrested you. You came to your senses. You spun around, walked back out with the joy of the Lord, and walked down the street thanking God that he had arrested you. She goes, who told you that? He said, who told you that? She said, the Holy Spirit told me that. But she recognized the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need that for our children.
Amen.
We need to know when to pray concerning loved ones in danger.
Yeah.
We need to know every time somebody's in an accident, the Holy Spirit trying to warn them. Every time somebody's been in an accident, the Holy Spirit trying to warn them. In fact, 911, when they crashed the planes into the building, there could have been, I'm not going to get this first number right, there could have been 30-some thousand people in the building that day, but oddly enough, there were only 3,000. And you hear their testimonies, they said it's bizarre. Like, strangely enough, I'm getting off the tram or off the subway, and I just had a nurse to go in and get me a blueberry muffin and a cup of coffee, even though it was going to make me late for work. Others just happened to call in sick, like, or call in a personal day, and others got held up in certain areas, and there could have been tens of thousands of people in there, but that day the Holy Spirit somehow led most of them not to be in that building that day. Thank God the Holy Spirit can keep you from going where you don't need to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
The CEO of Andrew Womack Ministries is a tremendous contractor, has million-dollar contracts with aeronautical aviation stuff. And he was getting ready to go to San Francisco, I think. And he had already canceled the meeting with the CEO once. So now he's getting ready to go, and he has this check in his spirit from the Holy Spirit to not go again. But now if he calls that CEO again, it's over. Because the CEO is going to be like, dude, if you don't want a contract, I can get my $1 million to somebody else. But he knew the Holy Spirit was warning him. So he said, look, I just don't feel like I need to come. I just don't think I need to be there. And he said, let's reschedule it somehow. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be an inconvenience. I do want your contract, but I just know today I don't need to be there. And so that very day, a particular bridge collapsed in the San Francisco area. I believe it was San Francisco. And he would have probably been on that bridge that day when that bridge collapsed. But he wasn't, because he was familiar with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Andrew Womack was supposed to go to a missions trip to Costa Rica, I think. To Costa Rica. And then they had planned for months and months and months. This church down in Costa Rica planned for months and months and months. And so they're excited about it, and they got all the tickets reserved and all the advertisements in place, and all the whole conference is ready for Andrew to come. And so he's driving a rental truck. He was transporting a couple days before. He's driving a rental truck back to his home. He's praying in tongues. And in his heart, in his spirit, he knows he's not supposed to go. But they've put money in this. They've paid for advertising. They've bought plane tickets. They've got people coming. You know, I mean, they're invested. He calls the pastor and says, I'm not coming. Well, that didn't set too good. He says, why are you not coming? He said, the Lord told me not to. Well, you better know the Lord told you that before you don't use the God card. You know, the Lord told me to marry you. Well, he didn't tell me, and so until he tells me, I'm not marrying you, you know. So we're not talking about the God card, but he says, I just know I'm not supposed to be there. I just know I just have a leading, not a voice, a leading in my spirit that I'm just not supposed to fly down there. Well, I mean, they were upset until the plane that he would have been on crashed and everybody died. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We can avoid a lot of problems if we'll become familiar with the Holy Spirit. He's for us, not against us.
That's right.
So we can talk about mercy, and thank God for mercy. But what about the enablement of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to do what you couldn't do in your own strength?
Right. Amen. That's right.
We need that.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen. So by the end of this series, you'll be more familiar with Him. You'll be better equipped to recognize Him working in you and through you, if you want to be. You'll be more able to recognize Him at work in others, and you'll be able to recognize what He's trying to do, not just in personally, but in our gatherings, and cooperate with that. Praise God.
That's right.
Now, I want to, we'll put that to the side. It's almost time to go, but for your sake, I want to give you a couple of scriptures to verify it's not automatic.
Okay.
All right? Here we go. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 is proof that the grace of God is empowerment. It's not an excuse to keep on sinning. We're hearing people now say, well, I'm under grace. I can do anything I want to do. Well, you can do anything you want to do. We're humans. We can do anything we want to do. But grace is not the excuse for that. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. When does sin have dominion over a person? When they're trying to keep the law. When they're trying to do good deeds to get God to like them. When they're trying to say, God, look at my performance. Look at how well I pray. Look at how well I read my Bible. Watch me go to church, God. Watch me not get drunk, God. Watch me not do drugs, God. Watch me do this. I am performing so well, I deserve your love. That's when you're under law. And when you're under that kind of performance, that's when you're going to find sin and addictions and all kinds of stuff begin to activate in your life.
Right.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:56, the Apostle Paul, I like to say God said it through the Apostle Paul. He said that the law, the Ten Commandments, is the strength of sin. Now, that'll mess your religion up. I saw that back in 2007, 2008, and I'm like, who put this in my Bible? Well, how'd that get there? Right? But notice that the sting of death is sin. And look, y'all, and the strength of sin is the law. What law? The Ten Commandments. You know what that's saying right there? The Ten Commandments do not empower you to live right. They empower you to sin. They cause sin to become strong. You want to make somebody that's addicted even more addicted? Get them in a church that's preaching performance Christianity. A church that God only loves you when you love Him. A church that focuses on your love for God. As a matter of fact, I want to say this without getting scriptural support, and then if you really are interested, I'll give you the verses. You focusing on how much you love God is religion and law.
Amen.
But you focusing on how much God loves you is the new covenant, and it's the grace of God.
Right.
I'm going to make another bold statement, all right? God is not concerned about how well you love Him. He's concerned about you understanding how much He loves you. Because everything flows from that. Now, out of that comes a second principle, a second truth. God never responds to you. We respond to Him. What do I mean by that? See, a lot of people think that it's their faith that moves God. It isn't. God moved before you were born. God healed you before you were in your mother's womb. God saved you before you were in your mother's womb. The plan of salvation was completed through the resurrection of Jesus before you were even a thought. So what faith does is respond and receive what God has already done.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So here's this famous verse, 1 John 4:19. It's amazing. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. If you're having trouble loving God, it's because you don't fully understand and have a full revelation of how much he loves you in spite of your mess,
right,
in spite of your stuff. You don't have to clean anything up for God to love you. You don't have to fix habits for God to love you. You don't have to quit sinning for God to love you. You don't have to read your Bible longer for God to love you. You don't have to go to church more often for God to love you. God loves you passionately. And we don't love God to become something. We love God because he's made us loved. God's more interested in who you are than what you do. I don't think you get this.
Thank you, Father.
You as a person, he's not trying to get something out of you, right? He has a destiny, he has a plan, has a purpose. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians. We'll try to bring this to a close. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is an amazing little passage of Scripture that it really is phenomenal. 3:14, Ephesians 3:14. It's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for those believers there in the city of Ephesus. That city is still there. The ruins of that city are still there in Turkey. So there was a real church there. It had about 60,000 members in it, all right, because they met in homes. And here's what Paul said in writing this love letter to these Ephesian Christians. He said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Man, family. Right? How many of you know we got family up in heaven? That he would grant you, here's his prayer, that he would grant you Christians, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying that the Holy Spirit would strengthen your inner man, right? Your soul, your emotions, your mind, your will. Not strengthening your spirit. Your inner man's more than just your spirit. It's your heart, it's your soul. And he's praying for a supernatural strengthening. Now, why does Paul pray for the Holy Spirit to give these believers supernatural strength? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, he's talking to Christians. He's praying for Christians. And he's praying that they'll be so strengthened in their inner man, in the soulish part of their inner man, which is part of your heart, to the point that Christ will dwell in the heart of those believers through faith. Listen. That verse bothered me for a long time. Because I kept saying to the Lord, if my heart and my spirit are the same thing, then why is he praying that Christ would dwell in their heart if they're already born again and spirit-filled?
Right.
That means you're saying that somehow the Holy Spirit's no longer in their spirit. And I said, Lord, I'm confused. I need help. And what you have to understand, your heart and your spirit are not the same thing.
That's right.
When you got born again, it was your spirit that got changed. It was your spirit that was recreated. It was your spirit where the Holy Spirit started living inside of you and made you perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
But your heart is made up of two things. It's made up of your spirit and your soul. There's a spirit part to your heart. There's a soul part to your heart. Again. And what he's saying is, I want the same Christ that's in your spirit to begin to flood your soul.
Right. Amen.
So that the heart side, the soul side of your heart is receiving the same power that this side already has.
Right.
So that you become one in heart instead of double-minded.
Right.
I don't know if I'm helping anybody.
Yes.
You see, before you got saved, you were single-hearted and single-minded.
Sure.
You were totally yielded to the devil. And so you had unity of heart. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I don't care what you think about it.
Right.
I don't care what God thinks about it. I'm going to sin because it feels good.
Right.
But you got born again, and the spirit side of your heart received a new nature. Now we have a battle between the spirit side of your heart and the emotional, soulish, mental side, the soulish side of your heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now we're divided in our heart. That's why Paul, that's why James said, to cleanse your heart, you double-minded. Yeah. Cleanse your heart, double-minded. Part of your heart's thinking God, the other part's thinking me, me, me. And he wants a cleansing of the heart so that the spirit side of your heart and the mind side of your heart come together. And once again, you're back into a unity of heart, flowing with the love of God, flowing with the power of God. And Christ has fully flooded all of your heart.
Amen.
I hope I didn't confuse anybody. There are a lot of born again, half-hearted Christians whose minds aren't renewed. Who say, well, I'll just do what's on my heart. You better be careful. What side of your heart?
Yeah.
Well, it was in my heart not to do that anymore. No, you better know what part of your heart are you listening to, right? So so he's praying for the Christians to let that other half of that heart nature become full of Christ. It's possible to have full Christ in your spirit, no Christ in the other side. He's praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. What? That you, being rooted, listen, and grounded in love. What love? God's love for you. Every human heart is crying out to be loved by God. Every heart, every addiction, everything we do to hurt ourselves, it is to try to meet a need that only God can meet. Sin is simply you trying to meet a need your way.
Wow.
Sexual sin is you trying to meet a need your way.
Wow. That's good.
Drugs and addictions is you trying to meet a need without God's help. It's simply the broken heart trying to heal itself. There's a lot of people that are perfect in their spirit and broken in their heart. You okay? That you being what? Rooted and grounded in love. What love? God's love for you. What's the first thing that happens when Christ takes over the other part of that soulish side, the emotional side? What happens? That part of you begins to get rooted and grounded in how much God loves you. And notice that Christ may dwell in your heart, be grounded, rooted and grounded in love. Next verse, watch this. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is it? The width, right? Length and depth and height. Four dimensions. The length, the width, how wide is the love of God for you? It's wider than you can imagine. You can't get around it. Talk about building a wall. God's built a wall of love that you can't get around. Right? The length. How long is God's love for you? Longer than you can live. Longer than eternity. How deep is God's love for you? I don't care how deep you sink. I don't care how deep into sin, how deep into despair, how deep into depression, how deep into disease you go. You can't go deeper than the love of God. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than your deepest despair. You can find the love of God in the depth of your darkness. You can't become so depressed that God goes, I'm done with that. I'm done with you. You're too depressed for me. Forget it. No. You can find the love of God in the depth of your depression. Amen. And then how high? There's no demon, no evil spirits, no wickedness in heavenly places. There's no height. There's no place, no heavenly force that is higher and stronger than the love of God for you. That's the revelation he wants us to get. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to get that into your emotional part. Now, notice the next verse, and I'm going to close. Notice this. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What causes a person to be filled with the fullness of God? When you begin to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. What does that mean? There is a love language There is a Holy Spirit knowing that you can't put into words. It passes knowledge. Here is the best way I can put this. You can look at it in the Amplified. They're as close to it as you can get in the Greek meaning of this. That you may know, the word nogonosko means that you may experience, have an experience of the love of God in your soul that's beyond your definition of love in your reasoning. That's the plan of God. For you to have such an experience of love in your heart that you can't even describe it with your mind. It's a wordless language. It's a wordless experience. Have you ever told somebody this? Well, you had to be there. I did this, I did that. Man, here's the pictures. Man, it was awesome. And they're looking at you like, yeah, okay, big deal. And you finally see the lack of connection and you go, and it what? Well, you had to be there. That's what I'm talking about. When you say to somebody, God loves you. And they go, yeah, I know. No, but I mean, he's this experience. You just have to be in here. So God wants to do through the Holy Spirit, through his gifts, what you cannot do with your own ingenuity. And out of the depth of that security, out of the depth of that love, that unspoken, deep love that's beyond your understanding, we then begin to experience the fullness of God.
Right.
You can't separate the fullness of God from the love of God.
No.
You can't separate the love of God from the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And when we begin to experience his love at that level, his love in that emotional realm, his love in that soulish realm that's beyond just me. See, if your experience with God can be defined on paper, it's still less than what he wants you to experience. If you've reduced it to a doctrine that you argue.
Right.
There's things that happen between me and Rhea as a husband and wife. I can't explain it. Because
right.
The minute I try to explain it, I cheapened it. There's an experience that I want to have and am beginning to have and am having with the Father in my heart that if I try to explain it to you, I just cheapened it. So what am I going to do? What the Paul did. Get on his knees and say, Father, I pray that you would grant to these believers, and I'm praying it right now, that you would strengthen every person in this room according to the riches of your glory, that they would be strengthened with might, Lord, in their inner man, my inner man, so that that Christ would dwell in their heart by faith, that they would become rooted and grounded in your love for them, so that nothing will cause them to doubt that, to act, feel like it's not so, that they become rooted and grounded, Lord, even when they don't have a good day, even when they didn't do it just right, even when they said it and shouldn't have said it and did it and shouldn't have done it and didn't do it and should have done it, Lord, all that they become rooted and grounded in love. Father, that we may be able to comprehend and grasp,
yes.
Grasp it with every saint. What is the length, depth, width, and height of your love, so that we may come to experience the love of Christ, which is beyond mere descriptive knowledge, so that we'll all be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a difference. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power,
yes.
The power of that love, the power of that experience working in us, may he do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, because the love we're experiencing is beyond what I could ask for or even think with my mind.
Yes.
To him be glory in the church,
amen.
World without end.
Thank
Amen. Can you all just lift your hands and let's worship the Lord for a minute? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Don't let the pressure of life pull you out of the purpose of God. Don't accept good in the place of God. The Lord says, I have a purpose. I've got a plan for you individually. I have a calling, a purpose, and a plan that flows out of my love for you, through you, in you, for others, and for yourself, and walk out the plan. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That means trust in that love. And lean not to your own understanding. And I will establish and direct your path. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw that. Let me see it again. Can we all just lift our hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit? Just pray in the Spirit. Really, I'm serious. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Get in unity here. Yeah. So I saw that and I lost it. We love you, Father. We thank you. Yeah, we thank you. Hallelujah. Keep praying for a minute. Just minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Plans. Plans. So rababashele de sekata zombrande bisa sedo to do o solo rabatisha ne meranza rodero de ria barandana e ana no se de romerase yeah and sekate plans and purposes maso pele vrese che la provo se se e si provas che jeva zobote vrese se vesh che la rabande romasse le difeste. Ah, thank you Lord, thank you Father. Thank you, Father, for I know the plans. You all know this, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord saying, I know the plan that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. They're a good plan. It's a right plan. It's the correct plan. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. It's a plan to bless. It's a plan to prosper. It's a plan to do above and beyond what you could ask or think. Don't try to grab it with your mind, but pray it out of your heart. Pray it out in the Spirit. Pray it out. I hear the word grab and seize it. Seize His plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seize His plan. Pray it out in the Holy Spirit. Pray it out in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Consola veshekrobose vreve salambro yana no rebeze vloko remasi lavrando vose vred sinsa set sonsa sende velambana sanda anse sete sendenanem anse seto kalamendi ela no koromana selerevrentase it's into ana mosera. As how do I say that? Shora, preza, vrida, nelo bruke sareve, haledo rebe desidium. I really need you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I really want to get this done so I don't take it home with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been sitting long enough. Stand up. Hallelujah. It's godly to pray in the Spirit. It's okay to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's all right to do it on a Sunday morning. We'll interpret it. We'll explain it. We'll interpret it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll pray with our spirit. We'll also pray in a minute with our understanding. But I know we need to pray. Gloma se veretola ma se brocore. Zela dora meca zede vesola ma de zebrista. Yeah. Sepandara vole vela se brovos que deba zala vrebokiza. I see a reversal and I don't know what that means. I see a reversal. I don't even know who that's for. A reversal. A reversal. A reversal. Others said it can't be done, but it is being done. In I see a renewal in Jesus' name, and I also see someone's knees being restored and healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you for a knee replacement. I think that's what that is. We speak a new knee. New knees, new knee in Jesus' name. New strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So for many of you sitting here, you know the plan. You know the general direction, but don't assume you know the way that it's going to come to pass. You know some of the end result of what I've called you to do. Others, you don't have a clue. And you need to spend time praying in the Spirit, praying much in the Spirit, fellowshipping with the Father, fellowshipping with the Spirit. Do not make a prayerless move.
That's good. Thank you, Father. Thank
do you hear what the Lord's saying?
Yes.
If you haven't been praying much in the Holy Ghost, it's like Russian roulette, dude. Do not make a... I'm telling you, Jesus is saying this through my mouth. You have to judge it. Do not make a prayerless move. I don't know what that means. I just know what I said. I saw it. But I saw this. You generally know the will, but you haven't yet understood the way. You've got a general idea. I don't even know who I'm talking to. About kind of where you're heading, but you don't yet know the way. Pray it out. Because the way that I'll bring to pass my will looks different than what you think.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
And then I heard the word seize the plan. In the Spirit through prayer. Grab it. Seize it. It will not come to pass automatically.
Right.
Ha.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ah. Se mo che laborete. Is that something else? I see that, but is that right? No. I'm going to say it, but Lord, I don't like magnifying him. I don't want to do if it's wrong, I don't want to say this. Help me to get this right. You elders judge this. You elders, I'm asking those that are more mature, you judge what I'm getting ready to say. And if it needs to be corrected, I submit it to other that are prophetic. I'll say it first before I say what it's in my spirit. I know the devil's defeated. I don't glorify him. I refuse to glorify him. He's totally disarmed. He's totally defeated.
Amen.
All right? Not giving him any glory. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians he's been brought to nothing.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2 said that the spirit of 2:14 who had the power of death has been annulled and he's a nothing.
Right.
Ha, ha, he's defeated. Yeah, but he's still on the earth. And he still has a mouth. And he still can speak things. And dissuade and deter and detour you. Seize the plan of God, praying much in the Spirit, and be patient. Faith and patience. Because the enemy would love to detour you and waste your life.
Okay.
And I still love you, says the Lord. I love you with an everlasting love.
Amen.
If you never do another thing that I called you to do, when you die and come home, I will embrace, hug you, and love you. But many, many will be robbed because you missed what I had for you. And my love and your love doesn't want that. So you won't get it perfect and you won't get it exactly right. But if you'll pray it out,
you'll
find yourself walking it out. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands out? I got it. I think that's it. Hallelujah. 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 Another 30 seconds. Just pray in the Spirit. Just talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Now, I want to say this. Almost every time. There's some more maturities. Did that bear witness? Those of you that are prophetic and spiritual, did I glorify the devil there?
No.
Are we okay?
No. But to resist him is to resist the devil.
Whew. Y'all sense that cloud hanging over you?
To resist the devil is to resist accusation.
Okay.
Not the devil himself, because the devil himself has been defeated.
Okay.
But he has the accusation ability and the condemnation ability when we believe the world's system and the world's view rather than God's view. That's how we resist the devil. Not a like a resist the spirit of the devil. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it is to resist the accusation, because that's all he has.
Yep.
His name means the slanderer.
Accuser.
The accuser.
Okay.
So when we resist the devil, we have to get this image of not the devil.
Yep.
Because he's been disarmed.
Yep.
He's been defeated.
Yep.
But his accusation still stands in this world system.
Yep.
So to resist the devil
yep.
is to resist the accusation.
Okay.
And then what does it say? Then the accusation will run away as if in terror.
Okay. Okay. All
you
right.
See that?
Yeah. You guys, listen, if this puts you under some kind of perfectionism, that's not my intention. You're not going to hear God perfectly. But to not pray is intentional endangerment. To make steps without praying in the Spirit, waiting on the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just stay standing for a second. Listen, Jesus spent all night in prayer before he picked his team of 12 and still missed it. Judas. I say, well, maybe he didn't miss it. Well, I'm just saying, he spent all night in prayer. There were many nights Jesus, the Son of God, prayed if he needed to depend on God.
Sure, he did.
We've got to pray. So Kelly, as you're praying in the Spirit, just chill and pray. There's people you're crossing paths with, men. And here's what they're asking. God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more for my marriage. This job sucks. God, I don't care. I'm done with church. As you're praying in the Spirit, it's like a GPS, and you are able Amen. To minister to them.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I heard the word, reversal. Reverse. Did I say reversal?
Yeah, yes.
All right. Hallelujah.
Part of that.
Thank you. This is so general. Man, I wish I had a more accurate thing. I see some kind of reversal. I don't know what that reversal means. Does the word reversal bear witness that some things need to be reversed? Does that bear witness? If that bears witness, raise your hand.
Well,
is there a reversal?
Yes, here. There's one.
Okay. Anybody? Reversal. Okay. All right. So the reason I'm asking is because I have an unction to lay hands on those that raise their hands as an impartation, if you'll permit me to do that. Is that okay? Okay, cool. Hallelujah. I don't know what laying on hands will do. It makes no sense to me. I'm not going to lead to my own understanding.
Right.
Anybody else? A reversal.
Yeah.
A reversal. I don't know what reversal means.
Well, we got a
All right, we're going to pray for you.
We got a prayer request just a few minutes ago about someone who is in the Mount Orab emergency room.
Okay.
And they are checking them out because of a stroke.
Okay.
And as soon as you said reversal, this came up. We're reversing right now in the name of Jesus any effects from a possible stroke.
Okay.
The name doesn't matter. It's under the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we speak reversal of all the blood vessels, of all the possible damage, no matter what it is. We reverse it in the name of Jesus.
Yep. Yep.
No side effects.
Yep.
We reverse all the possible damage
Come
that
on, guys,
could
grab
have
a hold
been
of
done.
This.
And it's stopped in the name of Jesus. It's being reversed. This person's brain is being set right. All the blood vessels being set right. All the nerve endings being set right.
Yep.
The formation of the brain is being set right as God ordained. And we, through the name of Jesus, reverse it now in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's give God thanks for that, all right? Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that. Praise God. That doesn't sound like praise to me. I said, let's give the Lord praise, you know.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Somebody needs that right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. I'm going to share this testimony for a reason. Then I'm going to lay hands and release this word. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we prayed for a lady, and then we're going to lay hands on these. We prayed for a lady last year in Alabama who had metal implanted in her wrist. And she said, after we prayed for her last year, the pain left. Well, the thing causing the pain was one of the screws had gotten loose. And, you know, that was causing the pain. So the pain left. She went back to the doctor, said, the pain's gone. He said, well, let's do a scan, whatever scan they do. And they said, well, the strange thing is, not only is the screw not loose, the screw's not there. Yeah. So the Lord just took the screw out or melted it or what. I don't know what he did. It's not there. So now here's the thing. That's the same power we're yielding to right now. We're speaking a reversal. A reversal. Now, are you sure? Hallelujah. So we thank you. We don't care, Father, what it looks like. What we think is a reversal. We trust you to define what that is. We trust you to make that definition, not lean to our own understanding. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I speak reversal. I command a reversal. I don't know what all the areas are, and if I needed to know, you would have told me. I speak reversal to you.
Yes.
Reversal in your emotions. Reversal in your thinking. Reversal in relationships. Reversal in direction. Reversal in calling. Reversal, not a change calling, but it's like backing out and going down the right road. A reversal, reversing, reversal. A reversal that's not by your strength. A reversal that doesn't require your intelligence. A reversal that doesn't require you to figure it out. It doesn't have to be 2 plus 2 equals 4, because for me, it can be 5 if I need it to be. It's a reversal simply because I love you. It's a reversal because the plan I've had for you when you were in your mother's womb is even different than what you thought it was. And it's a good plan. And it's simply, number one, a plan to know that I love you.
Yeah.
To know I love you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So in finances, reversal, a reversal, and even mistakes made, a reversal. That doesn't mean it's going back to the way it was. It's better. It's better. It's a better plan. It's a better direction. It's a better trajectory. It's a better purpose, because I will never give up on you. I will never give up on you. I will never give up on you. I love you with an everlasting love, and I will reverse and reverse and do reverse by this word. Hallelujah. And you'll rejoice and be glad. It will not be in a day, but it changes beginning now. It changes beginning now, and I heal your heart, and you'll even begin to have clear vision for those, Lord, you want me to minister to, that you want me to reach out to. And you'll lead me, and it'll be like, wow, I just did that and didn't even know I did it. I just said that to that person, didn't even know I said it. It was just a conversation. The Lord said, I am going to entrap you into places of blessing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're going to get caught in the net of my love. You're going to stumble into my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you can't find your way, I found you, and I am the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Out of your belly. Oh, aha, out of your belly. I see you speaking to a generation. I see you speaking to a generation. I see you speaking to a lost generation. You see what I mean? That resonates, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I see you speaking to a generation whose eyes are open with fear,
mm-hmm.
and don't know what the direction, and don't know God, and don't know the Holy Spirit, and don't know His goodness. And I've burdened you, and I've put a good burden in you. I've put a love burden in you, and you keep questioning, well, how does that fit? It doesn't fit the way you think it is, because you're trying to figure it out and make it fit in your plan. But my plan works better. So be patient and yield to my plan and quit trying to force your plan. And you'll be speaking to a generation, not a person, a generation. I've called you to speak into a generation by the Spirit of the living God. And those that have despaired and been in pain and been destroyed and been distressed, ha ha ha, you know, been there, done that. And I know the answer. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, and great will be the plan and great will be the purpose. And at the latter part of your days, you'll say, well, that sure wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but thank God it wasn't. And you'll rejoice and be glad. And many will rise up and be with you and rejoice with you and be glad that you did what the Lord said to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know that's weird. It's like fire shooting through my arms. Glory to God. Can we lift our hands and thank the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 I know I'm acting weird, but praise God. Ginger, you hadn't even started. The plan's a lot bigger than you think. The calling's a lot bigger than you think. There's some areas that he's still working with you in. All right? There's some areas in the past, even though the majority wasn't God, some of it was. And I'm showing you how to divide that out. Because there's some things I did impart to you in those seasons. And there's some things I did demonstrate to you in those seasons. And I'm giving you a boldness not only to counsel, but to drive out. And to take authority and manifest freedom and manifest liberty. Now, I don't want you to stand up because you're still healing, aren't you? So in the name of, and there's a prophecy. Ginger, listen, gift of prophecy, speaking by inspiration. Yield to that. Prophesy. Yield to that. Yield to that. Out of your belly. Even in a conversation, you're going to find out of your belly flows things. Don't have to figure all that out. Forget about figuring all that out. The Lord says, I'm a lot bigger in my thinking than you are, but my mind is in your spirit. My mind is in you, and you yearn to reach the hurting. You yearn. Say yes to it all the way. Say yes to it all the way. When you say yes to this all the way, the healing of the brokenhearted, you will find the doors open. When you say yes, you'll find the opportunities. Hallelujah. Ha ha, but I've got so much to do. No, 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 that's your plan. No, no, no. I know what you have to do. I know your responsibilities. I know what you have to do as a wife. I know what you have to do as a mother. I know, and I'm empowering you, and my way is easy and light. When it gets heavy, it's your way. When it gets burdensome, it's your way. My way is easy, my way is light, and you'll find joy, deliverance, freedom, and a generation that's being healed, delivered, and set free. Know what you have. Understand what you have and who you have. And walk in the fullness of it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands? Let's just thank God for everything he's doing and saying. Lord, we thank you for a reversal. We thank you for a reversal. We thank you for this, whatever that is, Lord. I thank you for it. It's beyond what we could ask or think, but we'll pray it out. And we honor and we thank you, Lord, this congregation.